You know, the more that you praise God, the more that he'll reveal himself to you. You know that, right? So if you're looking at trying to get God's heart, one of the ways to God's heart is to praise. He likes to hear what you have to say. That's why we talk about like praise as a weapon, and we sing songs about it, and we don't realize the gravity of how much of a weapon that it actually is. We just don't know. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. So anything that you're trying to seek shelter in, God said we can pull those things down if you just realize you got a weapon inside of you. Your weapon's your mouth. And if you just open up your mouth and start to praise me, I'll break stuff open. That means that even in the midst of the storm, you can see breakthrough. You may not be saying it vocally, but in your heart, you're dancing. Because that's what true worship is. And so when you're worshiping God in spirit and in truth, it doesn't matter where you do it, you can get breakthrough right there. Because you realize that there is nothing holding you except him. You know that, or you should know that. Nothing can hold you except him. We allow things to hold us. But in reality, the only thing that's holding you is him. And so when you come into the revelation and the recognition that the only one right now who has a right to your life is Jesus Christ, you release the right that you give to other people to dictate how you live. And if you could do that, you'll begin to go into different levels and realms with God that you never thought were possible. You do realize that you're talking about Jesus. You're not talking about some punk who was born. You're talking about Jesus who created angels. Who already was before creation was. So when you talk about God and you're trying to describe him, and if you remember how he described himself in the Old Testament, he said that really the only way I can describe myself is this: I am that I am. You can't really put words into play. I'll give you some. I mean, you can call me Elohim. You can call me El Elyon. You can call me Rapha. You could call me Sid Canu. I'll give you some of that stuff, but that really doesn't do it justice. He said, I am that I am. And so when you try to nail down God like he is one thing, he'll jump right out of that and say, no, I'm actually not that. I'm something else. God will keep you on a chase. They keep you chasing him. Once you think, and most of us in here have been through many Christmases, and we've all had different versions of what Christmas was like. Depending on what church you're in, it really didn't matter what season of life you were in. Christmas means something different to everyone here. It's different. The world looks at it as gift giving. We look at it as the gift giver. And it has a new meaning for us because of the actual gift that was given. The gift is Jesus Christ. It really is the gift that keeps on giving. And so when you can begin to unwrap the gift and see all that's in the gift, it makes all the other gifts pale in comparison. It doesn't matter what grandma gave you. You want this gift because this gift is what you need. And we live in a world right now who's looking for the gift. And you have that gift. And this season, my prayer is that you come to an understanding of the value of the gift that you have. God said, I'm doing something different in this season. I'm not doing the same. Don't look for me in the same places anymore. I'm not there. I'm doing something different. The reason why you're struggling is because you're looking for me where you used to find me, and I'm not there no more. 2,000 years ago, there was a great experience we had on one night, me and Mary. That was one night. I want you to think of how many other Christmases we've had since then. God says, stop looking back at what you used to know, because I want you to see something that you don't about me. And when you begin to see that, it will help blow open your limited mindset and view of how you think I should work and know that I am working. Because I am that I am. And so I work when I want to work and how I want to work. And so when you look at your circumstances, you can't look at your circumstances as, well, this is what God is doing, because God is often doing multiple things behind the scenes that you don't know. So to try to define me, he said, is really futile for you, because your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways. So if you will look for me in sickness and struggle, you'll find me. If you'll look for me in the circumstances that are happening in your life right now, you'll find me because I'm at work. If you will just look up, you'll see me. I'm right there. I'm right there. Because I often work best in weakness. Isn't that what he portrayed when he was born of a virgin? Weak girl. He said, I'm going to show you how and what it really means to walk in power. I'm going to humble myself so much that I'm going to be born of someone I created. So when you look at the world, you can't look at the world and look at it for face value. Because you are looking at it from a jaded perspective. You are looking at it. Most people look at it based upon what happened when they were six. And they don't realize that if you're now living in Christ Jesus and you have a relationship with him, that the old is gone and the new has come. And so you now have a totally different perspective about what life is. What I appreciate about God is that God reminds me of that. He reminds me of the hope that I have, that I don't live according to the way the world lives anymore, but I live according to the hope that I have inside of me, and that hope is Jesus Christ. And so when it gets a little hairy or funky, I know I'm probably where I need to be. Because God, it operates there. If you remember in the New Testament where they were looking for Jesus and they were looking, when is this king coming? What's he going to ride in on? They're looking for him, like where he's coming. And then all of a sudden, they get word one night by the angels, and they said, no, he's going to be born in a stable. Okay. And so they booked it to the stable. Sure enough, that night, he's born in a stable that wasn't even really supposed to be his. It was just something that was there left over. But we know that when we look at it from a spiritual sense, it was supposed to be his. And he was born of that night, a quiet night, a silent night. But was there really anything silent about that night? And I've often thought about the warfare that was taking place that night. Not only the warfare, but the warfare that was happening over Mary's life. Mary is birthing a deliverer into the world. She's not birthing someone just named Jesus. She's birthing a deliverer. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says it this way. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The government will be on his shoulders, not on a man's shoulder. So God said, I'm coming in and I'm going to establish a new reign and way of doing things. And so this kingdom is not going to be a kingdom like this world. It's going to be a different kingdom. And the way the kingdom rules operate is, number one, I'm in control. I'm in control. And my name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, just to give you a few. Just a few. So God says, I'm going to make my entrance into the world. It's not going to be a grand entrance like you think it's going to be, but it's going to be someone who is lowly. It's going to be humble, but I'm going to start something new in this thing. You just wait and see. You see, you look at it from a natural perspective because it's Christmas and it's time, and I'm all about Christmas and it's fun and it's great. We have a great time. But when it all gets done, it's all about Jesus and the gift. Nicodemus is hiding and comes into a position of where he wants to find Jesus because he knows that if he has to do it in public, they're going to ridicule him. But because his heart and God was doing a work in his heart, this conversation was birthed. And I think it's a key conversation because it really sets the stage for our faith. People are asking, well, what do I need to do? How do I turn my life over to Jesus? And it's simple, yet it's complicated. Because unless I'm born again, unless I turn my life over to Jesus and allow a circumcision to take place in my heart, there could be no change. And there are people walking around trying to do religious things, and they're trying to get to God by works. And God says, those works are like filthy rags. I don't want anything to do with that. What I want is your heart. Your heart. And you might remember how that was for you as you approached conversion and what that looked like for you. There was a turning in your heart and you recognize your need for a Savior had nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. Because unless he actually showed you your need, you wouldn't have changed. Oh, isn't that correct? You can remember that, right? Because salvation is not based upon how good you are or you reaching out to him. It was all about him coming down and reaching back out to you and saying, hey, by the way, you need me. Let me in. Let me in. And so it's all by his mercy and grace that you're even here today. So for you to boast on your salvation is wrong. Because he said, I'm coming for you, and I'm going to ask you in response to reach out to me. I believe Jesus had a destiny for Nicodemus. And if you recognize anything about what happened toward the end after Jesus died, Nicodemus was around in that process. This is a stir that he came to really show us a different way as opposed to the way they were living there. Because if you remember back then, it was all about religion. It was all about works. It was about how well I could pontificate my prayer, how loud I can pray. And Jesus said, let's get rid of all that stuff. Let's nail down all the law and let's take it all to two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. And by the way, don't babble like the Pharisees. Say what you really mean. Because your Father already knows what need you have. Isn't that what makes why he came so magnificent? He already knew the need and he provided for the need. It wasn't that all of a sudden along the way he decided, well, it's probably time to make up something in order to fix it. He already said it was already taken care of before the foundations of the world. He was already coming. You got to change your perspective and stop looking at it like, well, it's an A, B, and B, C, and C, E, and D, E, and L, M. Has nothing to do with that. The Bible said he was already slain before the foundations of the world. The sin issue was taken care of. He was already coming. It had nothing to do with how well you were going to do or if you were going to. He already knew you were going to mess up in a nice way. He already knew it. So for us to walk around thinking that God didn't have a plan is wrong thinking. But what people do is once a year is that they pay tribute to a Jesus that they don't really know. They don't know. It's religious, and because it's religious, we'll do it. Because anything that's religious, that must be good for us. You know, if you've talked to people in conversations, well, I'm religious, it doesn't mean they're spiritual. I'm religious, and well, how's your relationship with Christ? Well, I do good things. Has nothing to do with how good you are and your good things that you do. We do those good things because of the conversion that took place in our heart, but I don't do it because I need some points. And so for us, where does that leave us? I'm not talking as a body, but I'm talking as a world when we look at Jesus. What are we looking at him for? Are we looking at him for just some guy who, it was a nice story. It was something that we really could relate to. It's a heartthrob story. It's someone, oh man, it really gets me that someone would die for me, but we leave it there. A lot of people just leave it there. Well, he died for me and that's great. And for a lot of people, he's still up on the cross. But for those who have been redeemed, those who have been set free, those who have a new nature, that they know that he's not on that cross anymore, that he came, he's actually ever living to make intercession for me now, and that I have someone who's actually for me and who's paved the way, and I don't have to walk around in the same stuff over and over again. Don't you get tired of doing that same thing? Listen, I get tired of things like quickly. If I see like a certain movie on any number of times, like past three, listen, it's too many times, guys. It's too many times. Hallmark plays these things like 24/7. Okay? I don't need to see how Daddy Saved Christmas for the eighth time. All I need to know is that Jesus, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that let's watch something about him, and that's what I need to know. You get tired of certain things yourself. You know you do. When's the last time that you tried something different? Like, after three or four times at the same restaurant, what are you saying? We got to try something different. I got to try. This is crazy. Okay, what happens is you get the same pattern over and over again. Same pattern. We do the same things, and it becomes religious. Routine, we do it. And he says, I came to break routine. I came to break religion. We do it this way. We honor Jesus this way. It's Christmas Eve, December 24th, this way. We do it this way. And he looks down and said, listen, let's try it a different way this year. Try it a different way. Don't you think that he looks down and says, he wants you to experience all the freedom that he wants you to experience? Don't you think he looks down and says, listen, I wish they would just see me differently. I wish they would just see me differently. I am the one who came. I am the one who came and died. I am the one who came who was resurrected. I am the one. I was born of a virgin. I am the one. That's not going to change. But there's some other things I want to show you about me. We got comfortable as a world about a year and a half ago. And God said, I'm doing something different. If you don't think that God's hand was involved in what's happened over the last couple of years, you're missing out, and your eyesight has got to change a little bit. Because what it's caused people to do is to look for God in different places. What do you do when your normal is disrupted, and now you have to seek God through dysfunction, seek God through chaos, seek God through confusion? What do you do during that time? You got a choice. Either those who are really seeking God will follow him through those dark places, but those who are just passive Christians or just drive-by Christians are not going to make it. Because what do you do when God moves and you don't? And you're looking for him here, and he's not there anymore, because that was your saving grace. You kept looking for him there because you went back to that every time you felt fearful. But now that he's not there anymore and he's moved on, what do you do? You got a choice. You're either going to move on and do what God's called you to do and find him in the dark, or you're going to be on the outskirts and miss what God's doing. God is moving. The church is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. He's doing something different. It's transformational. It's not business as usual. You can't keep looking for God in the same places. He's not there anymore. The 8-year-old version of you, it's not good enough anymore. It's not good. And God's pushing people past all that now. Pushing them past. He said, we got stuff to do. I'm the God of, yes, the same yesterday, today, and forever, but I want to do something different today. Today. Don't you think God gets tired of the same stuff? Oh my God. Don't you think God gets tired of the same stuff? So much so, he said, man, I don't want to hear you complain one more time. That's it. All you all are out. You're out. I love you. I created you, but you're out. You're not going in. Let's see if your kids can go. If we don't think that God has limits, we're missing God. If you don't think God will ask someone else, you're missing God. Oh, man. Oh, boy. You don't think, well, God needs me. You don't think God will ask someone else? He'll ask someone else. If you get to a point in your life and say, I just can't do it, God said, well, I appreciate you. I love you. I got a plan for your life. But what? Come on. He'll ask someone else. His eyes are going back and forth looking for someone he could show himself to. Just looking. Man, maybe they'll do it. God is not weak. He is not misguided. He knows who he is, and he knows what he wants to do. All what he's asking is, will you join me in that pursuit and what I would like to do? Despite your confusion, despite you not understanding everything, will you just trust me in the pursuit? Because that's where the adventure is. That's where the faith is. If you'll trust me there, we can get somewhere. But if we have to outline everything, it's going to be hard. Because when God does something, he has heaven's intentions in mind. And the question for us is are we heavenly minded when it comes to what we want God to do in our life? So I would look at it this way. So we would look back and say, well, maybe God could have chose someone different to do it. But God said, no, I want a virgin. Because I'm doing something specific here. Because we're looking for God to do certain things and the way we think he should do them. But when he says, what if I decide to do something different? Will you leave me because you don't understand me. And that's the kicker. Because when you don't understand something, it causes doubt to rise up. And because you might be misunderstanding it, you might misappropriate that doubt somewhere where it doesn't really need to be. If he's talking to Nicodemus and he said, listen, how can this be, Nicodemus says. He said, listen, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't know this. It's because, listen, you got to have heaven's mind when it comes to this. God said, if you want to look at the world in a right way, you need to have my mind when it comes to this. There's been so many people who have been thwarted by the scheme of the enemy over the last year, and it is a scheme of the enemy. It is a scheme. So for us to think that it's not, we're not seeing it for what it is. If we don't think that there are intentions behind our intentions, that we are missing out on God's intentions. And God's intentions was to get the world's attention so that the world could actually see that he is at work here. And let's be honest, most people, even before COVID hit over the last year and a half ago, were just kind of flailing and were kind of out there just doing life. But he said, let's get heaven's mind in this. What does it cause you to do? It's caused you to perk up a little bit more, hasn't it? It's a little bit deeper than vax or no vax. It's a little deeper than that. It's a little deeper than mask or no mask. This goes down to, what are the intentions behind this? What are some of the spiritual ramifications of what's actually taking place right now? Because God says, if you're spiritually minded, you'll be able to discern the spiritual aspect of this. It's a little bit different. But the question is, are you heavenly minded? If you're not heavenly minded, you're not going to make it. Because, and be honest, you know people who have not bounced back. And there are so many arguments right now about this is the most polarizing time in history. People walk around, can you believe it? Like, this is something new. Can you believe it? I can't believe that one race would rise up against another race and we have race relations and there's racial injustice and all this stuff is happening. Can you believe it? Yes. I can believe it. Because if you look back, even in Bible times, stuff was happening. Stuff was happening. One race was trying to use. How do you think nations got conquered? One race would go in and say, we want your land. Get out. That's how conquering was done. How do you think the children of Israel actually walked into the promised land? He didn't just give it to them. They had to go in and actually fight, drive them out. I'm not a fighter. You're not going to make it here. You're not going to make it. Because there are weapons that God has given you to fight with so that you can be victorious. There are weapons. You're not going to make it. If you're not a fighter, you're not going to make it. You're wrong. See me in 5 years. You got to learn what you have and learn how to use it. Heavenly minded. I just can't fight. You got to learn. You got to learn how to become a worshiper. You got to learn how to wage war. You got to learn how to stand. When I've done all to stand, the Bible says, stand. You got to learn how to do it. What does that mean? I got to stand and declare the goodness of God and what I know in the midst of what's happening around me so that I don't get bent or swayed another way. Look, Lord forbid that we have people regressing back into old ways because of that. Lord forbid that. Lord forbid it. I woke up today, I'm going to be very honest with you, just transparent between me and you. I woke up today and I just began to rehearse and it was probably the enemy, but you know, we have a lot to do with that ourselves. I began to rehearse some of the things that I've been through and how far I've come. And I said to myself, no, I'm not going back to that. I know it might be difficult, but Lord, thank you for what you brought me through and where I'm not. I don't have the energy to do that anymore. But what I do have is the strength to stand now, to move forward in the unknown, and not worry about the outcome. To whatever is the outcome, it's the outcome. Whoever goes, goes. I don't have the strength. I can't do it no more. It took too much to get here. Because when you're heavenly minded, it opens you up to every sort of scheme and attack. And you see things that normal people don't see. And it took too much to get there. I said, Lord, thank you for the grace to help me to continue to move on. And it was just a little reminder of how it felt. Because the scars will remain as a reminder. That was then. This is now. I'm not going back through that death process again. I'm not talking just physically. Some of y'all are like, no. I'm not. Shh, things. And so, heavenly minded. And what does that mean for you? Only you can answer that. But you have to be able to see it. Can you see it for more than what you see it actually being right now? You got to be able to see it. If you're a Christian in here, most everybody is in here. People are out today, no problem. But the people who are Christians, you can see it. You know there's a discernment inside of you that this is bigger than me. If I can have God's purpose and intention in mind for this situation, I'll make it. But if I don't, I'm not going to make it. I just won't. Churches are still not back in capacity. And maybe never will be. And we always say, well, we're not really back. You may not ever be back the way you think back is. It's a different world now. If this is a different world, you're on a different field now. There's a different warfare now. This different now. There's different spiritual beings and things you're fighting now than what you did last year. It's different now. This is a different game now. You got to bow up and you got to strengthen yourself, get that armor on, and you got to know that you're going out for a battle. And there are going to be things that the enemy is going to try to wage war against you at, things that you got past to pull you back in. But you got to say, no, I'm not doing it. I don't care. I don't care if it's just me and my dog. We're going to do this thing. I don't care, because you got to look at it this way. The Bible says narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Few find it. That means the crowd's not making it. They're not making it. So tear down that lie that the crowd's where it's at. Social media is where it's at. Because they must know something that I don't know. False. I was talking to somebody the other day, and he said they were somewhere, and this person knows who I'm talking about, so he'll be fine with it. So the other day, I was talking to someone the other day, and he said I was at a work thing, and he said there were some kids that were there at this work thing, and he said, I looked over, and he said, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Girls just holding hands with each other. Just walking around. Just cool. Just like it's normal. It's the crowd. And Jesus looks down and says, it's not the crowd. That's not my heart for you. It might be, that's different now. For you, that's not you. You know truth. It's one thing to know it and not walking it, and it's another thing to know it and walking it. So you should be perked up to know that we are looking at something different here, and there are things that are being released, and you should be seeing things, and you are seeing things that have been hidden that are coming out pervasive. The enemy is saying, this is what I got. What are you going to do? So if you're strong enough, and as a Christian, you know I got to butt up against it, hold my stance, and continue to move. Can you be a Christian in today's world? I'm not talking about pre-COVID world. It's totally changed now. because what was hidden has now been unleashed. Can you live in today's version of Christianity, God said, today? But you got to be heavenly minded. And what's going to happen is God says, I'm going to test you in all this stuff. I'm going to test you in it. What do you see now that you didn't see before? And do you have enough of God in you to continue to walk with him through it? This isn't a joke. It's not some sort of thing that we're just playing around with. And, well, maybe he's a son of God and maybe he's not. But whatever you feel, it's good. This is not some joke. It's not some joke. There's an assault on the very fabric of this society. Right now, there's an assault on the ideals of what made this nation great. Right now, there's an assault on Christianity and its values. Right now, so if you think that that's going to change, you might as well just decide, I'm going to pack it in. Lord, take me now. That's not going to change. There's an assault. It's greater now. It's greater. That's why the time for you to go backwards is over. It's over. I'm not talking about struggling. We're all going to struggle till the day we die. We're in a spiritual fight. The struggle is just part of what we do. If you, man, well, I don't like struggling. I look back over here over the last year and people that we looked at Miracle Sunday and we didn't show everybody on Miracle Sunday, with those people who are still struggling with stuff that God helped them through. Not like it's done yet, but God is helping them through. Bill Reed is not completely healed yet, but he's standing in faith for his miracle right now at 91 years old. Could have thrown in the towel and said, I'm out of here, man. Still battling back from stuff that's probably not right the way it was a couple years ago. But if you're not heavenly minded, it's easier to turn and say, I can't do it. I haven't seen what I need to see because it's not working. But it is working. The word is working mightily in you. And that's what's given you the thing to persevere and to stand up in the midst of trauma and hardship and saying, no, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to do it. I'm tired. I'm struggling, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to fight my way through it. I'm not getting to the end of my life. I'm not getting to the end of my life. And the page is about to turn. And I say, and tap out. I could do it this far, though, but I can't go any further. Are you going to leave too? Where else are you going to go? Or, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words to eternal life. Well, we're not talking about drinking some chalice like in the movies and I Stay Forever Young. We're talking about eternal life. The destiny of every person spending eternity in one place or another, not some in-between place that people try to fantasize about until they morph into something better and they come back and they're a different person. You ain't coming back. Everything is working its way back to the Lord right now. Everything. 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 Everything's working its way back. You can feel it. Everything's working its way back. It's all coming back. Creation right now is groaning. It's groaning. What is it groaning for? The redemption. Redemption. Read Romans. All of it. Not only for the sons of God to be revealed, but for the redemption, the complete redemption of mankind, because we are redeemed, but we are being redeemed. All of it. Coming back. He's calling everyone back. Because when it's all said and done, we're going to stand before him one day. And he's going to look down and say, let's look at the records. That's why it is unnerving to hear people say that there is no God. and that they can live their life any way they want to live, and if they end up in hell, they end up in hell. Until the reality of it is, when they stand before God and they realize that somebody actually knows them because they created them, and that person did not reciprocate the invitation to follow. And all of a sudden, he looks down and says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I want you to think, of the travesty of that day. You get in and you're excited. But that person you know, who you've been working on, still, to the best of your knowledge, didn't turn. And you look over and you don't know if Jesus is going to allow you to see it. And when he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Those words cannot be reversed. Yes, they can. When God proclaims something, who can reverse it? Because he judges the intent of the heart, and righteousness and justice is the foundation of the throne. What does that mean? He's not wrong. He's never wrong. So the excuse that I never knew doesn't hold water. Because of the Son that was given. So don't take this Christmas lightly. Because of the gravity of the gift that was given. Because there will be people one day who don't make it. But you do. And your responsibility is to live in such a way that people see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Even though they may not hear, you don't know what it's going to be like there. But what you do need to know is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that God has a destiny for you, and that who the Son sets free is free indeed, and that you have a new nature, and that you're his kid, and he has an eternal purpose for you. And it says, if the Spirit of God is bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, guess what? You're his. You're his. Let's all stand on our feet.